Paul, lots happening. Can you give us an update on the 3x3? I know that Team Canada finished second recently in a tournament. Then they're over in Slovenia. Now I think they come home for like a week and then they fly back overseas again. They were ranked 11th. Are they still ranked 11th? How often do the rankings come up?
Rankings are updated weekly.
Oh, okay.
But there's three different rankings. The most significant.
Oh, so it's like college football.
Exactly. There's three different rankings. One is tour ranking. One is team ranking, and then the other is federation ranking. And they all have different criteria. For instance, Team Edmonton on the tour this year is fifth in the world.
Okay.
So they're top five.
And their team ranking, are they fifth too?
Team ranking, they're 11th.
Okay.
Federation ranking, they're 23rd.
But that's because it's country.
That's because it's country. And what Canada doesn't have that a number of other countries have are a lot of players and a lot of tournaments going on all the time.
Yes.
The federation ranking relates to your top 100 players playing 3x3, how frequently they play, how many events they are successful in. All of those things factor in. So it factors in 100 players.
That's like 25 teams, though.
I know.
Now, 25 teams from each country?
Yes.
Well, does Canada even have 25 teams?
That play regularly? No.
Yeah, I didn't think so. So
no.
It's kind of a dumb ranking, am I?
Well, and that's what FIBA's trying to do is to build up the number of tournaments, number of teams around the world. So you'll see you'll see nations with high federation rankings, but that don't have any good teams on the world tour. But they run so many local events and they've got so many people playing that'll drive the points for their federation up. It's a skewed, imperfect, and I'm really biting my tongue and walking on the fence right now, but it's a skewed, imperfect first shot at building 3x3 into the Olympics.
Because you've got to be top 20 in federation points to get your best team into the qualifier for the Olympics, correct?
Yes, but there's differences there because every zone can't send an unlimited number of teams to the Olympic qualifier.
So how many from who's in Canada's zone? Is it like soccer?
Brazil, U.S., you know, our hemisphere,
okay,
essentially. So,
and how many teams will come from our hemisphere?
I think you have a max of four that'll come from our hemisphere. So it would be the U.S., Brazil, Canada would be the three leading nations from our hemisphere right now. Argentina's involved. A couple of other Central American countries are involved.
Mexico doesn't have a team that's...
No.
Okay.
They don't. They really don't. But so right now, Canada's in a position, for instance, that even if they finished outside the top 20, they still very well would be able to qualify because a lot of the Europeans a lot of the European countries, so they can only take so many European countries in order to compete. So,
but Canada should be. And when you're fifth on tour this year and you're 11th overall, they weren't even ranked at the start of the season. Obviously, they've had a good year moving forward. Are they healthy?
They're healthy. One of the challenges Team Edmonton has had on the guys' side is team consistency because of the realities of life.
Mm-hmm.
Steve, Kyle Landry, Jordan Jensen-White have been at every tournament. But Jordan Baker, who's up for Canadian of the Year in the CEBL, started with them, is a fantastic 3x3 player, and he's going to finish the season with them.
Yeah, so once he's done this weekend, he'll join them.
Exactly.
Okay.
But then Jermaine Buckner, mm-hmm. Now Jermaine's back in Germany, so he was with them in Prague. Kenny Oceano from the Energy flew over, played with them in over the weekend in Slovenia. Now Kenny's back, getting ready for the weekend with the Stingers, and now Jermaine will play with them in Debrecen next week, and then after that, Jordan will be with them. So a lot of teams have this challenge, though. You've got to be ready to play no matter who you have, and those are six real good players. On the women's side...
Now, in a game, though, you can only dress four?
You can only dress four.
Okay, so let's say they got... And I might put you on the spot here, but because you've coached for many years. You got to pick four guys. And let's say they're all available. Who's your best four on the team format?
On the team format, it would be Kyle Landry, Jordan Jensen-White, Steve Sir, and Jordan Baker.
Okay.
The thing about Baker and Landry, having those two players in there, Kyle Landry has, I think the highest efficiency rating on the world tour. Like the, many times his efficiency, like 30 to 40 is good. Kyle's efficiency rating in many games is like 80 to 90. Uh-huh. Like he's really efficient. Baker's the same. These guys are really efficient players, and they both have motors that are unbelievable. So when they get Jordan back, I think that'll be their strongest team. Kenny's a really good player. Jermaine obviously is a great player as well. But Baker's motor just changes the dynamic. Plus he's 6'8" and just goes to the rim fearlessly and overpowers people. So
Paul Sir joining us inside the paint. Now, we are going to talk about Canada's men's team at the... Now, the U.S., I read an article the other day that, is this the weakest U.S. team we've ever seen? And, you know, it's funny, though, because I want to say back into... Was it the 2014 team they sent? And they had a bunch of young guys then, and Curry and all these guys who weren't really established, and people questioned that team. And then you look 5 years later, and you've got guys who are MVPs and multiple... NBA champions. So I don't know what that means. I still look at their U.S. roster. It's pretty good. But Canada... His roster is really decimated. There's not many NBA guys there at all. Kelly Olynyk got hurt after a knee-on-knee collision, so he's out. So what do you make of Canada's chances at this tournament?
The greatest thing that Canada has going for it is that other nations have the same problems that they're having in not being able to get all of their best players. So I think, you know, the anticipation we all had was this was Canada's year to field an all-NBA team. You have the, you know, Nick Nurse, coach of the champion Toronto Raptors as your head coach. Everything seemed to be aligned for a marvelous run, and then reality hit with the pressure that a lot of these athletes feel about their NBA contracts and futures. U.S. has the same problem, only bigger. Like this is not a premier American team. They're still really good.
Mm-hmm.
So Canada, I think, Jason, they'll have to play awfully well to get through this. But I don't think the field's as strong as we could have expected. Australia's in their pool, for instance, but they don't have Ben Simmons. Same thing there. Yeah. They have Simmons. That's a different deal.
And so what's the rules here on this? What do they have to finish to ensure they get to the Olympics?
You know what? I don't know what the exact finishing. Ask Doug about that.
They don't have to win it.
Oh, no, they don't have to win it. They just have to. They have to qualify. And so they have to get out of their pool play. And then I think they have to get to the semis to have a shot, but there again, I'm not an expert in this, and I haven't really paid a lot of attention to it. I've been caught up like most people in the fact that they don't have their NBA players.
Yeah. Are you surprised that so many of the NBA players aren't there? Because everybody's talked about how well this young generation of Canadians were all going to play, and now none of them are playing.
I'm surprised. I'm disappointed. I know it's a reality. It's a new reality in the NBA. I mean, look at the NBA now. Kawhi Leonard, all the people talked about was his, you know, management of his minutes on the court. And load management, I think, is going to become a commonplace term for a lot of superstars. I think he started a trend. You're hearing about it now in youth sports as well, of kids having, you know, and to be honest, I think it's a good thing for kids. Kids overplay and overtrain at far too young an age. But when you start talking about pro athletes and load management, that's one thing. I think most of this is contractual. I think it's fear by agents that's being instilled in the athletes that don't go and compete. And look at Kelly Olynyk. He did get hurt. He did injure his knee. It's not a season-ending or career-ending injury. But I think it's just a whole different mentality now where representing your country has a lot of different layers compared to what it used to be like. And now the money is so big and so vast, and it ripples through so many different pocketbooks. I think the pressure on these athletes not to play in international competition is a lot higher than it's ever been.
So I wonder, though, if this impacts, you know, the Olympics in the sense that the teams that qualify, a lot of times the roster doesn't represent who's actually playing in the Olympics.
Totally agree. It's been a weird journey with the Olympics. I was reflecting the other day on 1972 when the U.S. lost that bizarre game in three overtimes to Russia, with the one with three finishes.
Yeah.
You know, and that was a terrible team. That was by far the weakest U.S. team that's ever stepped on the court. But NBA players couldn't play then.
Yeah.
So different era. So then we finally get it. The Dream Team 1992 comes out. NBA players are allowed to play. All the NBA players are flocking to play for the U.S. But once you got past Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, and that group, the NBA players weren't that good. So they went downhill. Then the Redeem team came about, and you never thought about whether or not the best players were going to play. LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, they were frothing at the mouth to play for the U.S., win the gold medal, bring it back. Now it's a different thing. Players are saying no. Look at Canada. Like, what a time for Canada to assert itself in its place in the world as a basketball power. And none of the NBA players are even playing. That's nuts to me. That's hard to relate to as an outsider looking in. But then there's all the business realities that seem to enter into people's decision. I don't like it, and I don't agree with it. And it's a shame because it's cheating, like you said, the world from seeing who really is the best country with the best players.